Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And 2 years ago, when I was at my worst and hardest moments with my lupus, Phoenix was 4 years old at the time, and he had a really hard time understanding why mommy was sick and couldn't go to the park. He didn't understand why mommy was sick and couldn't come eat supper at the dinner table.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. Starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my honor and pleasure to be with you here on another brand new episode. And I'm having such a wonderful time. You know, we're past 350 episodes. It's hard for me to believe it's been that long when I count it out. But oh my gosh, we're coming to the end of another year. Oh my. Oh, and I wanted to share with you, I've got my nice warm chai tea with oat milk today. So I thought, no, and I didn't make this oat milk. I know sometimes I make my own milk. This I didn't make today. So I'm cheating a little bit. Actually, I'm cheating a lot. You know what? I ran out to get my tea today too. I've been trying to support some of the really close by local businesses. So let me take a sip here. That's good. That's good. So I've been trying to support some of my local businesses here. And one of them is, you know, getting out and running out and getting some tea every so often. So I hope you guys are having a great time and supporting your local businesses as well. And tonight we have a really great guest. This is not something that I've talked about before, although I too am, you know, when I met her, it was like, oh yeah, I've done that too. So let me share with you. Her name is Heather Foisey, and she reached out to us via understandingautoimmune.com, where up there at the top nav, it says be a guest. And she reached out to us there. And I'm just going to read what she wrote us. She says, my name is Heather. I'm a chronic illness patient, mother and wife with lupus, Sjogren's, vasculitis, NDPH, and other chronic pain conditions. And I'm a chronic illness advocate and creator of PhoenixSoulWarrior.com and recently published a children's picture book that explains invisible illness in an easy to learn way. And I love the book. And so I said, come on the show. And as many of you know, I'm a children's book author too. And I thought, what a great idea to write a children's book about what's going on, in this case with mommy. And I thought, wow, isn't that really cool? Because a lot of times it can be scary, it can be strange, or, you know, oddly enough, it can just be normal in a kid's life, but they don't realize that there really are some differences out in the greater community. So thank you for reaching out to us, Heather. What a pleasant surprise.
Thank you for having me, Sharon. I'm so excited to be here today to talk about my journey and my story with autoimmune diseases and the children's book.
Oh, yeah. I love the book. I can't imagine, you know, I wrote Pinky Schneel and the Rainbow Hunters, and that took me forever to get to rhyme. But trying to rhyme things about very important issues like this, I was really impressed. Children's books I'm sure everyone can kind of nod along with this. As a published author of nonfiction, I thought, oh, I can write a book. Yes, I could write a nonfiction, but you can probably attest too that writing a children's book is a whole different thing.
It is. Yeah. It's, it was a project for our family to try and figure out the right language and diction to use for the children in a way that they could understand it. And I too took several years to write my book, to get it from beginning thought process onto paper and through the editing and printing process.
Yeah, I help people understand that most children's books are not an overnight thing. To me, it took far longer to bring to life than it did for my nonfiction work. So Heather, let's talk a little bit about your story that led up to this, because you've had quite an autoimmune journey.
Yeah, definitely. Should I just dive right in?
It's sure, just wherever you'd like to start.
Yeah, it's a bit of a long journey. So how much time do we have today?
Well, let's just do this short one, because I'd love to talk more about your son and raising kids when you have an invisible illness.
I first got sick at the age of 20, or at least that was the first time that I recognized that I was sick. It's a bit of a funny story, actually. I met my husband, Mark, when I was 20 years old. And after 6 weeks of dating, he sat me down and said, "Heather, we need to talk." And, you know, when you hear those words, you are thinking, oh, great. Like at the beginning of a new relationship, that usually means bad news. You're going to go break up. Like, it's, you know, it's not a conversation you want to walk into. So he sat me down at the table. And so I'm like, you know, having a lot of like racing thoughts and like feeling really scared to have this conversation. And he just looked at me with like the most compassionate eyes. And he said, "Heather, you're sick. You need to go to a doctor." And I was just, I was stunned. I was like, what are you talking about? And he started giving me all of these examples of, you know, the pain that I dealt with on a daily basis that wasn't normal. You know, I got sick every single time that I ate. I had pain all over my body. I would get weird rashes all over my body. And it was, for me, it was things that I had been dealing with in my adolescent years, but they started off really small and I didn't notice them. And, you know, I just kind of got the pain and the symptoms just got so normalized in my routine that I didn't realize when I got sick enough that a normal person could recognize that I was that sick. So that was the first time that I had the like self-awareness, and mostly it was like my boyfriend awareness, because he was the one that had to bring it to me, that led me on the journey of trying to figure out what was going on. And so from 20, we're going to fast forward to the age of 28. It took me 8 years to get my first diagnosis, which was an autoimmune disease called Sjogren's. It has a spelling. It has a funny spelling. It's Sjogren's. And a lot of people don't know how to pronounce it because it's kind of a weird last name for English speakers, but it's pronounced Sjogren's, like TV show grins, G-R-I-N-S. So that's how I remember it. So I was diagnosed with Sjogren's and vasculitis at the age of 28. At the time, I tried a couple of different medications that I had allergic reactions to. So I just decided to wait on medications, not move forward with that, and just try and make some healthy lifestyle changes to help my body. And I was pretty successful with that. I was able to, you know, cut down on alcoholic beverages and juices and sugary foods, and just ate a much healthier diet and nutrition, along with modifying some of my exercise. I couldn't do high impact things like running anymore, but I could continue with jogging, ellipticals, yoga, that sort of stuff. So between the age of 28 and 32, I lived a relatively normal life. Mark and I got married. We started traveling together, and we had a child, a son named Phoenix, who was born in 2015. And fast forward a couple more years, by the time I was 32 years old, my body went into a health crisis that I am still trying to manage today. So my health crisis started in 2017 after I had a miscarriage. The miscarriage caused my autoimmune disease to go into a major flare-up. Basically, what that means, if you're not familiar with the term flare-up, it means your body has kind of kicked up a notch and is no longer in remission, that your autoimmune disease is active and that it's attacking whatever parts of your body that it attacks. In my case, Sjogren's, it's a systemic disease, but presents typically in a way that injures people in their eyes, nose, and mouth by causing severe dryness. So if you think of, if you've ever had a piece of sand stuck in your eye and it feels like it never goes away, Sjogren's patients often deal with that. If you've ever had to stand up in front of a crowd and give a speech to 100 people and you get that like anxiety and then cotton mouth in your mouth, those are the types of symptoms that people with Sjogren's deal with. And sorry, I'm just going to grab a glass of water because my mouth is now dry from speaking. And so the miscarriage basically brought on a flare up of my Sjogren's symptoms. And about a year later, which was by this time, it was late 2018, my condition had worsened bad enough that I was not able to work. I had to go on short-term disability. I went back to my rheumatologist because I just felt like something was really off. And she confirmed my suspicions and gave me a lupus diagnosis at that time. And so that was about 4 years ago. It was the end of 2017, 2018 that happened. And it's been 3 or 4 years of trying to chase my autoimmune disease and getting it under control so that I could continue working or living a healthy life. Today, which is December 2021, I'm still off of work completely. I'm not able to work right now because of my lupus and Sjogren's. During this time, as I was not able to work, one of the ways that I dealt with the depression that often comes with losing your job to an autoimmune disease is I wrote a book. It was a project that I could work on from my bed, from my phone, or with a journal. And it was a project that kept me going really over the past several years as I've been dealing with a very debilitating illness.
Yes. And bravo for taking that time and in an awful place, finding something that is absolutely amazing. The title of the book is I'm the Biggest Helper with Mommy's Autoimmune Disease. I love the book. It's so sweet and so cute. Now, we met and chatted a little bit before the show. And you mentioned that even your son dove in to help write this book, right?
It's true, yes. So yeah, the title of the book is I'm the Biggest Helper with Mama's Autoimmune Disease. It is a book. Oh, you can see Phoenix, come here. You can see.
Hello.
Phoenix here. Hi, Phoenix. Mommy's on a phone
Congratulations
call right now.
On co-writing the book.
Oh, she's just talking about the book. You can go back and sit down. Sorry, Phoenix just interrupted me. He's home from school today feeling a bit ill and he wanted a snack out of the pantry. Sorry about that. So the book title is I'm the Biggest Helper with Mama's Autoimmune Disease. It is exactly as it sounds. It is a book about a parent that has an autoimmune disease. This book was inspired from our own life, from my own life, being a mother with an autoimmune disease to a young child. And 2 years ago, when I was at my worst and hardest moments with my lupus, Phoenix was 4 years old at the time, and he had a really hard time understanding why mommy was sick and couldn't go to the park. He didn't understand why mommy was sick and couldn't come eat supper at the dinner table. He didn't understand why mommy couldn't always read him a book at bedtime. And as our family was met with these like really heartbreaking moments, trying to navigate this illness and parenthood, we had a hard time handling it. I'll be honest, it was a hard time. And so I started looking for books out in the community that could help me explain my autoimmune disease to Phoenix And there are a few out there, but there weren't a whole lot that really dialed in specific to what I was going through with my autoimmune disease and Phoenix. And so that thought that, oh my gosh, like I need this for my family, along with, well, if it's a need for me, it's probably a need for somebody else, put me down the path of, well, if I can't find a children's book that can help me, I need to write one. Like it wasn't a want, it was a need. My family needed it. And I know just from talking with other people in my community, friends of family members, like there's tons of other parents out there, or grandparents, or aunts, or uncles that are dealing with this same situation. They have an invisible illness or an autoimmune disease. They deal with pain day in, day out, and they don't have a way to really communicate it to young children. And so that's what I set off to do as a goal with this book. And so the book is, you've read it, Sharon, so you know, but the book is kind of set up in two different categories. And so the first half of the book goes in and teaches the readers, young all the way up to adult.
Yeah, I wanted to pop in here and just say that, yes, it's a children's book. And I would say the 0 to 6-year-olds age range, if I was to put it up, you know, for sale type of thing. But I thought adults could absolutely learn from it too. You're a patient advocate now. And one of the things that I think happens, and you've used the term invisible illness, which is popularized. I like it too, because as you said, even Phoenix couldn't understand why you couldn't come. And you mentioned the problem of normalizing it for yourself as it sort of crept up on you, the condition crept up. And since most times autoimmune conditions don't visibly show, in my case, it did visibly show because I had, my skin was radically involved, but in most cases, so people don't understand the level of pain and agony and just pushing through the day that people with invisible illness, and that goes beyond autoimmune for sure, but people with invisible illness go through. Yeah. And what I loved about the book was, even though, yes, it's for that 0 to 6 age range, I learned a lot from it. It was really helpful. I think all of us, no matter our age, can learn from children's books. So you were saying, I like how it is set up in two different formats, and even the opening where you even have that little game for kids to play as you go. I love that, because the back of my Pinky Chenille book, I have games in the back and questions for further conversation in the back. And I love children's books that do that. So let's take a quick commercial break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about the unique setup of the book and how it can really change, I won't just say children's, but everybody's understanding of what it's like day by day. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Heather Foisey, and she is the author of the book, I'm the Biggest Helper with Mama's Autoimmune Disease. And I love it. As I was mentioning before the break, I would say it's like sort of the 0 to 6 age range is the writing level. But I loved it that in the book, it's set up in a multitude of ways. And one of the fascinating things that I really appreciated, I know how to pronounce Sjogren's. I have a family member with it, so I was aware of it, things like that. But you have these little phonetic helpers for all of the, I'll call the big diagnostic words.
So the first half of the book, when you go in to read it, it helps to explain what autoimmune diseases are. It's got some really great pictures that show kind of inside the body and what it would look like. If you remember the magic school bus from back in the day, it kind of is designed like that, a way that kids can look inside to see what's going on.
And, but I have to say, not scary.
No. Yeah, no, sorry. Yeah, they're just drawings, graphics that help the kid to understand what's going on inside the body. And as you get further along the story, it talks not only about my illnesses, lupus and Sjogren's, it talks about some of the other common illnesses, autoimmune diseases that are in society. It mentions multiple sclerosis, type 1 diabetes, Crohn's disease, celiac disease, arthritis. These are big words for young children. And I knew that as I was writing it, that if we were going to have the children learn how to say these, they might need a little bit of help. And
well, I think the adults.
And I was just about to say, and if I'm being honest, the adults could use a little bit of help too. I know that Sjogren's, the way that it's spelt, is mispronounced, or people are afraid to even try because they don't know how to pronounce that SJ that comes at the very beginning of Sjogren's. So there's phonetic spelling for the autoimmune diseases that'll give the adults a little bit of confidence as they're reading to the young ones, and they can, it's a good teaching tool to teach the children the difference between how something might be spelt with a silent P on psoriasis, but it's pronounced with an S. So that's in the book to help parents as they're reading through it.
What I loved about it too, it was that, let's go into how you talked about the types of help mommy needed. And I'll say that the encouragement, I know it's a story of a mommy, well, of a family and a little boy named Phoenix. And talk about how you wrote that, because I could see in the different aspects of what Phoenix is doing throughout the day that most children do. And I thought, wow, any young child could relate to, I need to be aware of this and that.
Yeah. So the first half of the book was about teaching the children what an autoimmune disease is and giving them some pictures to help them understand. And the second part of the book gives examples that were pulled right from my life as a chronically ill mom and my son, about how a young reader could help a parent or an adult that has an invisible illness or has chronic pain. And so these were examples taken right from life with Phoenix and how he helped me in that first full year of disability, where I had moments where I had difficulty walking or difficulty carrying light things like groceries from the car, difficulty with walking. So sometimes I had to use a cane. He would help me get the cane out of the car. Sometimes he would help me push the wheelchair. He'd help me at the grocery store. He'd help us with raking the leaves or watering the flowers. You know, just I sat at the end of that year and reflected on all of the really amazing things that he helped me with. And it was just heartwarming to go back and remember all of those times. And I know that children want to be helpers and that they are encouraged to treat others with kindness. It's natural for them. And so as children are reading this book, they can start pulling examples out of the book and start brainstorming with their parent or adult what kinds of things they can do to help somebody who might need help.
And I love that this is not just about autoimmune disease. It's teaching compassion and kindness at a different level than often happens in books. As I was reading the book, I was, you know, well, children could extrapolate this idea of, okay, the invisibility part of it. I don't always have to know the whole story behind it, but if someone needs help, can I, and how can I help? And I enjoyed that part of the story. Now, Phoenix is a couple of years older now.
He is, yep, 6, almost turning 7.
Wow, okay. How does he talk about the book now? Does he remember those times?
He does, actually. We talk about it. And we had a family vacation in 2019 where we went to Disney World. And when we were in Florida, I had to be in a wheelchair while we were there. I couldn't do the amount of walking that was the same as the rest of the family. And so that trip was the first time that Phoenix had seen me in a wheelchair. I'm kind of happy that it happened. As weird as that might sound, it happened at a really great place. And like, we were at Disney World and there was ample opportunity for him to crawl up on my lap and for him and I to have just one-on-one candid conversations with each other as Mark, my husband, would push us off to the next ride or the next activity. You know, Phoenix, the first time that he saw me in a wheelchair, he was a little bit quiet and a little bit more reserved than usual. And I think he was a little bit scared to ask me about why I was in a wheelchair. But I took the opportunity to sit down and talk to him about how my illness impacts my body. And some days I feel really great and I can go for a walk or I can kick a soccer ball back and forth. But some days mommy is not feeling well enough and she has to use things like a cane or a wheelchair to help her. And it doesn't mean that mommy is, that it's bad. It actually is a good thing, because if I didn't have the wheelchair, I wouldn't be able to be here with you on our vacation. And, you know, I just kind of started having those conversations with him. And so he still remembers that like two, three years later, those conversations. We talk about it as a family because I've made some pretty positive gains in the last couple of years now that I've found the correct treatment and working with my healthcare team, that I have more good days than I used to back then. And we talk about it openly and often in our family about how sick I was and how, you know, how I've gotten better, but that some days I still get sick and have to go back, and that some days are good and some days are bad. And so, you know, Phoenix, we talk about the fluctuations in my illness often enough that Phoenix knows that there's going to be good days and bad days. And because of that, he does remember those times when I was kind of at my worst. When we got the books in, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a more proud child than Phoenix when we opened up the boxes and he got to see the first book with him on the cover and with his name on the cover. He is so proud of the book that we wrote together as a family. And, you know, he asked so excitedly if he could bring in books for all of his teachers and for the librarian and for all of our friends. And we started, we pulled them out and we got some Sharpies, and he's been working on his signature, his autograph. He's, every single time that somebody asks us about the book or talks about the book, he's just so proud. And it's heartwarming to be able to see that.
Oh, how exciting is that for him? What a wonderful way to share in what I'll say is, you know, the real scary parts, weird thing, and I know I'm sort of preaching to the choir here with our community, but I think we'll have nodding heads, is the weird thing is sometimes family members or other people in your community will see that maybe you've had a string of good days, and all of a sudden in their mind, I'm going to put in air quotes, you're well. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, maybe not such a good day happens and you have to cancel or do something around that. And all of a sudden, other people in your world are like, oh, wow, just diving, like, mm-hmm. what happened and what's wrong? And I'm just like, that's just the ebb and flow of life, mm-hmm. I like to say, is helping other people understand that. And that's what I liked about the book. It helped.
Yeah.
As I said, it's written for the 0 to 6, but it helps us adults or other people understand what it's like to have an invisible illness. Now, I know you do a lot of advocacy work as well, mm-hmm. around the, not just the children's book. I think it's an awesome idea and I want to keep that there. But what prompted you? I mean, I know why I do the autoimmune hour, I mean, because of my own diagnosis. But what prompted you to step into that place of advocating for people with chronic illness?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a journey. It didn't happen overnight by any means. When I was kind of dealing with my health crisis at the very beginning, and I had to reduce some of my work hours, I dealt with depression as a result of not being able to work my full-time job and my full-time hours that I had spent a decade worth of time building up in an industry that I really enjoyed working with and with employees that I really enjoyed working with. As a way to battle the depression and the slump that comes with having to go off of work, I started a blog. I signed up for a free Wix.com website and I just started writing. I started writing about my journey with my illness. I just started just to process some of the things that were going on in my head. After a while, I shared it with a few people that I knew in the Sjogren's and lupus community. And I got a lot of really positive feedback from them saying things like, wow, I didn't know that you went through that. I have a similar experience. Or, oh my God, I'm a new patient. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And it was with those types of encouragements that I got from the chronic illness community and from friends and other people in support groups here in Calgary that really prompted me forward to start working on, okay, I don't want to just write a blog about myself for myself. I want to develop a website that's going to provide resources for individuals that are dealing with chronic illnesses and share my story and find products that help people and find treatments that help people and just basically have a place where chronic illness patients, lupus patients, Sjogren's patients, rheumatic disease patients, mental illness patients can come and find things that can help them. And so I've just been working on that as slow as it is. You know, I don't have a lot of energy. Most of the time that I'm working on that project, it is from my bed on my phone or sitting at a computer in 10-minute spurts where I can't sit down for long periods of time without dealing with a lot of pain. So yeah, it's been a project that I've been working on for the past couple of years to help just again to have a project that gets me up and out of bed and gives me something to do and something to think about and something to be passionate about where I can throw some of my energy to help other people dealing with the same things that I am.
That's beautiful. That's why I started the Autoimmune Hour. Well, twofold. I think similar to you, when I started the show, I was only about, well, I started thinking about it 3 months after my diagnosis, but actually the show didn't start till about 4.5-5 months after my diagnosis. And people are like, oh my gosh. Yeah, I was still in the throes and I refused to do video at the time because my skin was peeling off. Mm-hmm. It would have been terrifying. but I did it twofold. One, so I could learn more about, you know, learn from people such as yourself, other people. When we share what's going on with us, two things happen. First, you know, you're not alone. Mm-hmm. And second, you know, someone else is thriving through this, so I can too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important, as well as learning from other people about that. So I encourage people who have a diagnosis, regardless of what it is, to share what it is, because when you are together in community, to me, that's where the greatest insights and healing happen. And it's not just from community. As we're doing more and more of these interviews, people are going, oh, and in this case, oh, Heather, well, oh, you know, I didn't know there was a children's book out there for that. I didn't know this resource was out there. Mm-hmm. And it's just so nice to share, because oftentimes I find that if you're not careful, you can find medical community that's stuck way back in the past. Mm-hmm. And now I'm not saying Dr. Google's all that great, because you guys stay away from the crazies, okay? But there still is lots of things out there. When I first was diagnosed, I had a very respected medical professional in my world tell me that diet had nothing to do with getting me well. And I'm here to say, absolutely, that was one of the worst things I'd ever heard.
I agree with that.
Because radically changing my diet had a big difference. And I don't know about you. I was a busy working, you know, full-time type road warrior, actually, because I was doing my public speaking on the road. And I thought I was eating well. I thought I would have a salad at the airport, so that must be healthy, right? But understanding things such as diet and things that the people who live through it are the ones, to me, that have some of the best advice. So we need to take our final quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Heather with about just a couple of the things that she says, you know, give this a thought. And one of them I'm throwing out there, I heard her say medical team. And I'm, you know, if you've listened to the show, you guys know I'm a huge fan, because I've got a medical team too. It's not just one person that helps keep this thing together. So when we come back, we'll talk to Heather about some of her thoughts on what's helped her the most to become not just a survivor, but a thriver. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and tonight we're here with Heather Foisey, and she is the author of the wonderful book, the children's book called I'm the Biggest Helper with Mama's Autoimmune Disease. And it's a lovely book. It's, as we've been sharing, it's sort of a 2-part teaching book, but it isn't teachy or preachy. It's really cute and fun. And I think it's even a great book if you've got even adults in your world who are like, why are you always so? Just give them the book and let them know. So, Heather, I know you've dealt with this at the level that many, many people that are thriving with autoimmune disease have. And that's that idea of not just our children needing help understanding, but the greater community, maybe our family and a greater community. And as you've gone through your healing journey, what are some tips that you have for people that have helped you the most? And including if it's answering those, why are you always so questions? Mm. But let's start with what are some of your favorite tips that have helped you the most?
One of the things that helped me the most when I was first diagnosed with Sjogren's was going to an in-person support group in my city. And I remember it vividly because I was the newest person there. A couple of other people had been with the support group for about a year or two, and they met every couple of months or so. And when we got there, I was, you know, I'm a bit of an introvert. I'm a little bit shy in new situations. So I just sat down, introduced myself, and just kind of sat back and like listened. The support group meeting lasted about an hour and a half. There was me and about six other ladies. And I can tell you, I have never learned so much in my life than about Sjogren's than that hour and a half that I spent with those other patients. More than I had learned from my doctors in the couple of years before, you know, 3 or 4 years of working with a rheumatologist and my family doctor. Like this, meeting other patients that, like you said earlier, have been around the block and have lived this experience, they were just able to unload so much valuable information to me. My favorite part of the meeting was when the leader asked everybody, oh, do you have any products that you use that have been very helpful for you? And every lady like went into their purse and grabbed like, you know, these lip chaps and eye drops and, you know, pain creams. And, you know, we just had a table full of everyone's products. And I was sitting there taking photos of everything because this was all brand new to me. And I didn't understand Sjogren's and I didn't understand all of the symptoms that came with it. And I was just so thankful to have other people that were willing to share their experience with me. I know that living through this pandemic, meeting up at in-person support groups isn't possible anymore, but online support groups are. Our support group here in Calgary for the Sjogren's Society of Canada, from online support groups, from in-person support groups to online support groups, so we can still meet with each other and share our experiences. And for anybody that is currently dealing with an autoimmune disease or is on the road to a diagnosis, I would encourage you to reach out to charity organizations for your country and see if you have support groups that you can get in on.
Mm, yes, and they're so valuable. I know that the medical professionals I've dealt with, and I've dealt with many of them, and many of them I've moved on from, they don't have the lived experience. Mm-hmm. One time I was interviewing a new medical professional and for possibly working with them. And as she continued to ask questions, I stopped her for a moment and I said, you don't have to answer this, but I'm curious, does someone in your family have autoimmune disease? Because these questions are not the normal medical professional question. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I do. And I thought, oh, someone who really understands.
Yeah, it's
because we can learn it in a book and we can hear it from family members. But until you've walked in those shoes, you have no idea what it's like to wake up in the morning and wonder, can I get out of bed today?
I completely agree. For me, that experience was within my own family. Like I have several family members that also have autoimmune diseases. They're actually listed in the book. So when I started dealing with my illness, I reached out to my family and told them what was going on. I had my brother chime in and my sister chime in and my mom and my dad, like everyone gave me their lived experience that helped them when they were dealing with their autoimmune diseases. And, you know, I had, my sister doesn't have a rheumatic autoimmune disease and my dad is a leukemia survivor, not an autoimmune disease patient, but still is chronically ill. And so it was helpful to have multiple different people with multiple different lived experiences help me. I mean, one of the things that my family and I now openly joke about is how complex our healthcare teams are, because when you have an autoimmune disease, it's not often just one doctor that you're dealing with. It is maybe one main specialist and several other specialists inside that circle that are, they're all working together to manage your health, finding doctors that really understand autoimmune diseases is few and far between. And like you said, as a patient now living with an autoimmune disease for almost a decade, I can tell when a doctor has an autoimmune disease herself or has a close family member with it, because they ask questions just a little bit different, or they dig a little bit deeper, or you can see the wheel on the hamster, or the wheel on the mouse on the wheel running in their head, and you can see their thoughts moving, and you can tell. Finding a medical team that really understands you can take some time, but there are really good, compassionate, and knowledgeable doctors out there.
Right. And don't be intimidated if someone tells you you're doctor shopping, because there's sort of this bad label of doctor shopping, as if you're trying to get, medications or whatever. Sometimes you just have to find the right doctor that not only understands your condition, but understands you and your life. Mm-hmm. In my case, mom, grandma, all of these things play into it. It's not just that one label. And I'm a big proponent, and I do a lot of speaking nowadays on your identity is not your diagnosis. You don't allow your diagnosis to become who you are. That's just a part of it. It's part of your life. Sometimes you have to adapt, but I applaud you for reaching out and becoming an advocate yourself, because not allowing that diagnosis to become your identity, to me, is part of thriving.
Definitely. Doctor shopping is an interesting term. It's not one that you really hear in, I haven't heard it much in my social circle with the chronic illness community. In Canada, where I live, we have free healthcare or integrated healthcare. And I guess the term shopping doesn't come to mind when I say I'm going to see a doctor, because we don't pay an out-of-pocket expense when we see our doctor. That's just built into our taxes on the back end, right? But I do tell people when I meet with them at our support groups, I don't know that I've written about it online, but maybe it's a topic for another blog post, is, your doctor is working for you. Like, you are hiring your doctor the same way that you would hire somebody to come in and clean your house, or to come in and do your yard work, or, put up your Christmas lights. Like, they are providing a service to you as a patient. And their job is to listen to you, to help you try and find solutions to your problems, offer treatments, differential diagnoses, and really work with you together on what your needs are. And if you think that a doctor is not listening to you, or if they're gaslighting you, or they're not willing to dig deeper, those are all red flags in my book for a doctor that is not doing their job, and I wouldn't want to hire them. So that is how I describe it to people in my life in Canada, where we don't typically hear the words doctor shopping, but I think that all of those things apply to what you mentioned. And I see you, you're nodding your head. Yeah,
absolutely. It's the same kind of thing here, as in the States. It's a different system. And oftentimes it's a very negative word to be thrown about, as if you're trying to find specific drugs or things like that. So you doctor shop. And sometimes the insurance companies here are, why are you seeing so many specialists? And my answer is, because I need one that understands what's going on. I don't want one that just has to look up the name in the dictionary to figure out what it is and then try and wing it. That's not going to work. We need somebody that understands what's going on.
Oh, I completely agree with that. Especially, I've learned that through the Sjogren's community. And so Sjogren's is a rheumatic autoimmune disease. It's in the same family as rheumatoid arthritis and lupus. A rheumatologist is the specialist that is the doctor that you go to if you have Sjogren's. And Sjogren's is not wildly known about in the public, nor in the medical community. So you can find rheumatologists that don't really know how to treat Sjogren's. So you're going to see the specialist that is supposed to know about your disease, but is not educated on the most recent studies, treatments, and therapies. And so, yeah, like doctor shopping or trying to find a specialist that is trained in your specific illness or certain areas of your illness or your symptoms, it can take some time to find that person.
Absolutely. And oh my goodness, Heather, just like when we had our initial conversation, time is getting away from us. We're down to about 4 minutes. Please share some final thoughts and then also how and where can we get your book?
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Sharon. I'm just so happy to be able to share my story and my book with your listeners. I think final thoughts on today, if you are on the road to trying to get a diagnosis for an autoimmune disease, or you're having a lot of mysterious symptoms that you don't know what's going on, or if you're a seasoned professional like you or I, Sharon, and you've already got a diagnosis and you've been living with it, I would encourage you to build up your social supports, reach out to a support group so that you can share your story or ask questions and find some support through other people that might have been down the road that can help you. That is what's helped me the most in my journey, is finding other people that can help support me, both family, friends. A lot of the online support groups or in-person support groups have been super, super helpful. Lastly, when it comes to the book, I'm the biggest helper with Mama's autoimmune disease. It is available on Amazon Canada and Amazon US. If you put it in your cart today, you'll have it before Christmas. If you want to get it under the tree for a special helper or a young reader in your life, we also have, if you want to get an autographed book, a book that is autographed by Phoenix and myself, then you can purchase it through Etsy. And again, just search the book title and you'll be able to find it. I would love to hear what other people think about the book. And if you've read it, feel free to reach out to me on social media and we can connect.
And your website is phoenixsoulwarrior.com. Is that where we also find your blog?
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's my website. You can read a bit more about my story. You can read more about the book. Got resources for rheumatic illness patients. I'm working on getting more for mental illness and other invisible diseases. And the blog is there as well.
Fantastic. Everyone, that's Heather Foisey, and she's from phoenixsoulwarrior.com is the web address. You can find out more about her and the book and her journey there. Everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventures. Join us next week for another brand new episode. As always, take good care of yourself. Stay safe. Stay strong. I never thought I'd have to say those words, but we've gone into 2 years of talking about staying safe and staying strong. And everyone, we'll meet next week. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.